Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf, Baba Basra Chaf. We are holding four lines off the top of the Avod Meisvi. Here comes a kasha from Rabbi Brisa, from Rabbi Sefta, on Shmuel. Shmuel told us yesterday, we have a mace in one room. Now that room is sort of connected to the next door room as well, through an opening in the wall, a chaloin, a little window, a little cubby, which is a tefach by a tefach. So the tumah travels through that open hole into the next room, unless there is something in that hole blocking it, closing it off, plugging that chaloin. But Shmuel says that if it's something which is useful, you know, the material that you put there is food or something which you're eventually going to remove, that does not become part of the, it does not become incorporated into the structure. It's not bottle there. And it cannot block the tumah. Likewise, the Gemara told us that this only works provided the item is not mekabel tumah. It's not susceptible to tumah on its own, because if it's affected by tumah, it can't shield from tumah. Now comes Akasha on Shmuel. We're going to have a list of various materials placed in this chaloin, which the Brisa considers to be blockers, despite the fact that it appears to us these things are functional, they're useful. They're not there for the long term. Meisve, here comes Akasha, Asavim. Shatolshan, for instance, he cut some grass. V'nichan v'chaloin, he placed it in that window. Oish olam alein v'chaloin, or grass which has grown their own from the bottom up and are now blocking, filling up that chaloin. Umatloin yisab, you have little material remnants, little patches, which are too small to be mekabel tuma, she'ein bem sholish al sholish, they're not 3x3 finger widths, which is the minimum shear requirement for susceptibility to tuma. So too small to be mekabel tuma. And these things were placed in that hole. The Eva Rabasar, Hamadul Dolan, you have a limb, a piece of skin hanging off an animal, Behemo Bachaya. And that happens to be sitting in the Chaloim. Va'if Sheshachan Bachaloim, kinds of strange cases. You have a bird sitting in there. Va'vit Kechavim Sheyasha Bachaloim, a guy sitting in there. Uben Shmoina Hamur Bachaloim. You have a newborn, born after 8 months of pregnancy, which is not considered viable in those days. Such a child was not considered to have a good chance of survival. So he's not considered viable. V'hamelach, he placed salt into that hole, v'kli cheres, an earthenware kli, v'sefer Torah. All these items, kula m'ma'atin b'chaloim. They can repel the tumah, they can shield from tumah, they can plug that wall. Aval, but something which isn't really durable, hasheleg, v'habarad, snow, hail, v'haglid, ice, v'akfar, frost, v'hamayim, water in a kli. All these are not really lasting items. They'll melt, they trickle away. The water in the kli on its own, without the kli, would not be able to stand. So, kulon ein mematin b'chalem, they can't have this effect. End of Bryce. Let's go back and review the items one by one in light of Shmuel's halacha, that if it's functional, if it's useful, the material is not deemed to be there for long term and cannot be considered part of the structure. V'ha asavim. First on the list were these grasses. Chazal v'hemtoi. He can feed it to his animal. He's not planning on leaving it there. About frasta. We're speaking about a poisonous material which is not going to be fed to the animals. Oish olam alein. Next case. Grass grew on its own. Well, we learned yesterday that grass shouldn't be growing near a structure. It's going to undermine the foundation. Given the kosher l'kosel, since it can harm that wall, shakalu, he's certainly going to pull it out. He's going to leave it there. Amarabe b'kosel churba. It grew alongside an abandoned structure, which he doesn't really care for. He's going to leave the grass there. Rapapa amar filo b'kosel yishav. It could be speaking even if it's an inhabited structure. But ban chutz mishloish l'chaloyim. We're speaking that they're growing from three out. They're starting three tefach away from that wall. And as we learned yesterday, the concern is only if they're within three tefachim. So since they're growing far away and they're leaning into the chaloin, It's there for long term. Matloin years. Next case. Yeah, these little patches of material. You can use it as a patch to cover up a tear in the garment. He's not planning on leaving it on the window. Bismichta, we're speaking that it's thick material, not suitable for patching. Chazal umna can still be used by the blood letter as gauze material. Ibarisko is speaking that it's rough, not suitable for gauzing. Ibarisko, if it's speaking that it's rough sack material, then she'en ban shalish al shalish, why does the brisa stipulate that it's less than 3x3 etzbois, which is typically the minimum shear requirement for tuma by material, piece of material? If it's sack, if it's hair, if it's a thicker material, she'en arba al arba mi'boyle. The brisa instead should have cited a different minimum dimension, 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim, which is the minimum size for sack material being roi l'kabel tuma. It has to be less than that. So it doesn't have to be so small, as long as it's less than 4 by 4 tefachim, if it's indeed sack material. Ke'en risk. No, it's not speaking that it's made of hair material, of sack material. We're speaking that it's regular fiber material, but it's rough, like similar to sack, so it's not really suitable for being used in a bandage format. Next case was va'aver va'abosr hamdodolim be'behemu v'bachaya. You have the things hanging off the animals. It's not meant to stay there. Arka va'azla. The animal's going to take off some. He's going to leave. Make sure it's tied down. Shachula, he's going to shaft it. He's not going to leave it there. But to me, it's not kosher, so he doesn't really have a point of shechting. Masbilam nachar, so I'll tell guy, I'll take it away. Bechusha, it's a poor quality animal. Nobody's buying it. Pasuk shadid little club. Okay, so at least he'll pull off these hanging things and give it to his dog. Why would he leave it hanging? Kivin dikatzar balechayim loy ovid. Since it hurts the animal, he wouldn't do that to the animal, so it's going to stay there in the window. Va'oyf sheshachon b'chaloy. Next, a bird stuck in the window. Parach va'azal, he's not staying there long term, he's flying away soon. B'kosher, he's tied down. Shachla, he's going to shecht it to eat it, but tell me it's not kosher. Mazmul nachos, how to go, b'chlam nisa. Talking about a bird, which is a poor quality bird. Nobody's buying it. You have little nuka, okay, at least he'll give it to a kid to play with it. Masaret, it's a scratchy bird, he's going to hurt the kid, so it's not suitable for that. What do you mean, kalanisa? If it's the kalanisa bird, loy masarta, that doesn't scratch. Ke'en kalanisa, like the kalanisa, meaning has all the milus. It's weak and it's poor quality and it's right. It's not really going to scratch anybody. I'm sorry, and it is going to scratch the kid, so therefore it's not suitable for any purpose. So presumably it's staying in the window for long term. Vayvet yochavim shiyasha b'chalayin. Okay, the guy is sitting there. Koyval, soon he's going to get up to go to lunch. Bekaf, so he's tied down. Matzi chavrei shadilei. Okay, his friend, his coworker will come. And untie him. We're speaking that the guy stuck in the wall is a metzera with a contagious disease. Nobody's getting near him. Well, he has his co-metzera, his friend of metzera, who might come and help him out. Malchus was speaking that he was condemned by the authorities. They're tied down and stuck there. You have this newborn, 8-month newborn. Question is, Asya ime darile. Well, his mother's going to come take him away. B'Shabbat, it's on Shabbos, or it's Muktzah. The Sanya has learned in a brisa ben Shmoina. This type of child, Hariyu Ke'evin, we treat him as a stone, B'Asal Tatla B'Shabbos. You can't move him on Shabbos because he's not considered a living being, he's not viable. Abel, Imo Yishoich Olav, Umenikasa, but there's a special hetter for the mother to lean over and nurse the baby. Ibnei Asakana, to protect the mother who's going through this hardship because of her milk. Okay, Melach. So we have salt sitting in the wall. Chazile, you can use it for a child. Bimirurta was speaking that it's bitter salt, it's not really edible. Chazile oiris can use it for processing of hides. This big, well, koitzi, it has thorns, it's not really usable. Given the kashla koitzel, next question, but salt which is corrosive is presumably not being left in that wall, lest it harm the structure. Shakla, he's going to remove it. The asva chaspa, sitting on a piece of pottery, protecting the wall. Well, chaspa gufa techos, then forget about the salt. The piece of pottery on its own is memayit, diminishes the size of the hole. Forget about the salt. Why can't the pottery do that? The less bashiura, it's too small to be significant. And Rashi says, "Vahava kemanta lesa." It's not a functional piece of pottery, so it's like it's non-existent. It can't be reckoned with this because it's not. As we find a similar concept when it comes to carrying in the street on Shabbos. You need at least something which is considered functional. Cheres, a piece of pottery. What's the minimum shear? to constitute a malacha of carrying on Shabbos, a piece of pottery enough to place, you know, between the pieces of trim around the window. So if it's smaller than that, it does not have chashivus, it's totally insignificant, and it's non-existent, as far as we're concerned. The Brisa mentioned a klicheres, right? You put a klicheres in the chaloyim. Chazilei. Well, that's going to be used soon. The metan, if it's dirty, it's leaving it there. Chazilei umna, well, the bloodletter, who uses even dirtied utensils, he might use it. The menachim, if it has a hole, so it's not really suitable for anything. And finally, we have the Sefer Torah. Chazilei mikra. Fine, now it's sitting in the wall, but it's going to be used for Kriyas HaTorah soon. But Bali, it's worn out. But by Gneza, you have to hide it, you have to bury it. Shamtei Gneza, so he decided to leave it there. That was the Gneza place. And therefore, it's Memayit B'Chaloin. Okay, so in summation, we have a Chaloin between two rooms. We want to block the Tumah from passing through. He placed all these types of items. The Tosefta says it works. What do you mean? But Shmuel told us that we assume something which is usable, something which has function, something which is fit for shimush, is not batal. The answer is, in all these situations we came up with scenarios where they are parked there for the long term. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav. Here comes another halacha which is slightly related. Ba'koil oisin machitza. One can use any sort of material to create a partition. A machitza for Shabbos, to make an enclosed entity, a machitza for tumah, to block tumah from passing through. Chutz mimelach v'revav, except for salt and fat. These aren't really enduring, sustainable things. Ushmol ha'mafilu melach, even salt is considered enduring enough to be considered a machitza. Amar papa, there really is no machlek between Rav and Shmuel. They're speaking about different types of salts. V'loi pligi ho b'melach sedoimus. Shmuel, who allows salt to be applied as a machitza, speaking about melach from stoim, Rashi says, ova v'kosha ke'evanis, block like salt. That constitutes a machitza. Hava melach is to ruknis. Rashi speaking, Rav is speaking about more crumbly, softer salt. But now that Rav told us that even when it comes to the weaker salt, at times it works. Ayusa adam shnei tziburim melach. Right, we all know that there's something called a kira, right? By an eruvin, you have an alleyway leading from the courtyard to the street. If you want to carry in that alleyway, you have to make a kira. You have to lay a beam across the entry at the dividing point between the alleyway and the street to the friendship between the two entities. So that's clearly you're entering a private domain. So Rabbah tells us you can use even salt to support that beam running across the width of the entry to the alleyway. A person can place two columns of salt, and place the kira running from one pile to the other. You know why? Because the salt will support the beam. And likewise, the beam will box in the piles, will hold them in, and keep them in place. So as long as it's a comprehensive structure, each one holding up and supporting the other, it's going to work. So basically, according to Rabbah, filo melech is teruknis. Even a weaker type of salt can work, provided it's tied in properly. So according to this, v'lei pligi. A filo melech is teruknis, v'lei pligi. So Rab and Shmuel can both be speaking, even by melech is teruknis. It's really no machlekes. Ha-de-ik-a-kayra. So Rab is speaking about using melech is teruknis without a kayra, tying it in without something that's going to keep it in place, so the elements will come and take it over and disperse it, so it can't be used for a machitza, whereas Shmuel speaking was tightly packed in, and therefore even this type of salt can work. So bottom line, you can use the melach stoimis for a machitza, all agree, melach estrukness, it depends how firm the structure is. Marchikin asarachayim, gil melashachev, shema bo minarechav, Mishnah says, keep your millstones away from the neighbor's wall. Make a three tefach gap between the shechev, which is the lower stone, right? So you have to have three tefach gap from the stone to the wall, and it's going to end up being four tefach gap from the top stone, the rechev. Rechev is lashon of rechev, it rides on top, it rolls around the bottom one. So that is typically a bit narrower than the bottom one, so it's going to be four tefach from the top stone to the wall. My time. What's the concern about having a millstone grinding near the wall? Mishum tiria, is it because of the vibration effect? Vatanya, we have a braisa that even a small, you know, portable type of grinder would have the same concern, despite the fact it doesn't really generate the same type of vibration. Vashal chamur, a small one which they use a chamur to spin. Others learn that chamur is just a term to describe the base of this small-sized grinder. So sitting on this base, shloisha min istrabil, over there as well, Bryce says you have to keep away from the wall. Three tefach from the bottom section, shein abor min akelas, which ends up being four tefach from the funnel leading feeding into the grinder, which is narrower. So the question is, why be concerned about this type of mini grinder? Hasam, over there, my teri ikka, whether you have vibrations. Elamishim kala. Oh, apparently it's because of the sound waves, the koil, the noise that the grinder makes, which sends these shock waves to the nearby structure, which can harm the structure. And therefore, you have to keep away so that the sound waves dissipate and no longer harm and damage the wall. Vesatamer. Likewise, when you have an oven nearby, shloishem and akilya, shenabom and asafa, you have to keep it three tefach away from the wall, between the kilya, which is the base of the oven, to the wall, which ends up being four tefach min asafa, the top, because it sort of arches, it's sort of like a pyramid up, so the top part is narrower than the bottom part, which ends up being four tefach from the wall. Amar Abaye, Shema Mina, we learn from here, kalya de tano tefach. Then in fact, the bottom, the kalya, the bottom is a tefach wider than the top. By your standard oven, afkamina, what's the point of mentioning this? When you buy an oven, you should be aware of the standard dimensions. Says the Mishnah, layamid adam tanur. Oh, speaking about an oven, so a person has to conform to fire codes and take precautions, leave enough space around this oven to allow for ventilation so that the material nearby doesn't catch fire and the building doesn't burn down. Layamid adam tanur b'sechabayis, a person cannot place an oven in his home, a home which is a building which is shared by others, Elam ken yesh al gab of goiva arba'amis, unless he leaves a 4 amma ventilation area above the stove, above the oven, to the ceiling. Hayim amidu ba'aliyah, let's say he's living on the second floor, so there he has a concern about the bottom as well, he doesn't want to burn down. Tzor she tachtav maziv shlesha tefachim, he has to ensure that there's a maziva, wall, floor material, cement, whatever it was, 3 tefach in thickness, to allow for insulation of his right, to shield the structure from his oven. Uba kira tefach. Let's say we're speaking about a range, a small type of cooking range. So there you don't need 3 tefach below, 1 tefach is enough protection. But ultimately, if in fact he causes damage, mishalim hashizik, he's responsible. He has to pay for damages despite the fact that he conformed to fire code. Reb Shimon Amar, no, the Amru Kol Ashur Nala, the whole point of providing all these regulations is Elohim Hizik Batim El Sham, to tell you that if in fact it causes damage, he's accounted for, he's Patim, because he followed the rules. Continues the mission. Another aspect of our Chakas Nezokin, Leiftach Adam Chanos Shal Nachtoimen Vishal Tzabon, a person should not introduce a bakery or a dyer's shop where they have these big fires, right, dyeing materials. So all these should not be placed tachas etzur shachaber, beneath his neighbor's storage room where they stored, you know, grain and stuff like that. But later if it's bakar, nor should he place his barn beneath a storage house, because the fumes and the vapors and the smoke and all that can harm the material. Be'emes amra, but there's a conclusive halacha that be'yayin hitul, if the fellow is using his storage room for wine, for only wine, so wine can actually benefit from the smoke emanating from the fire below. So over there, it wouldn't be a concern. Avalir if it's baka, but still you shouldn't place a barn beneath the wine, because that certainly can destroy his wine. But Tanya, now we're going to have a kasha, because the mission says that a tano or a kirayim on the upper floor has to be shielded by way of a thick floor beneath it. So by the tanur, you need 3 tefachim. By the kira, 1 tefach is enough. But tanur, the brisa seems to say it's much more. But tanur, arba, you need 4 tefachim beneath it to protect the dwellers beneath you. Or by kira shleisha, by kira, all you need is 3. Amar Abaye, that's speaking about a commercially sized oven. Kitanya hibidin achtoim, a baker's oven. So there, the oven requires 4, the kira 3. But the Tanu Dedan, but our personal sized ovens, our oven is like the baker's, like the commercial Kira. Right, so basically it's commercial Tanner 4, commercial Kira 3. Our Tanner is like the commercial Kira, which only needs 3, and our Kira only needs 1. The Tanner didan ki Kira de nachtaymin dami. Our Tanner has the same, is treated the same as the commercial Kira, and both need 3. Leave it to God, chanos v'chol Tanner, im hoisa refes. Let's say you were there first. You had your barn in the basement, and then he suddenly shows up upstairs with his storage material. It's mutter. You don't have to leave. You were there first. And we learned in the Gemara earlier that we call it dira. It's part of it's your livelihood. It's your place of dwelling. It's not like you're digging a pit. This is your parnos. So if you're there first, he has no right to kick you out. But yeah, buy it. Now the question is, what constitutes arrival? What constitutes inauguration of the oitzer? So let's say kibeid v'ribeit l'oitzer mau. The fellow upstairs already cleaned up in anticipation of delivering his storage material. Mau. Is that considered having already inaugurated his oitzer, started his oitzer, and he's there first or not? It's just preparation. It's not really. Hasn't really been activated yet. Let's say the fellow upstairs added some windows for ventilation of his, in anticipation of bringing in his oitzer material. Is that considered having started or not? The Bach takes this out. Let's say the fellow upstairs now built another annex. Up on top of his roof, he added another level for an oitzer. That's really a significant investment, but he hadn't yet delivered his goods. Is he considered having started the oitzer or perhaps not? Mahu, take it, leave it, take it. Boy, Rafuna Beit Rishua, another question. Tamri Rimoini Mai. Let's say the fellow delivered his dates and pomegranates, which isn't really typical storage material. So he hadn't yet delivered his grain or his wine. But perhaps this in itself is already considered starting using it as an oitzer, and it's too late to bring your animals downstairs. Mai, take it, leave it unresolved. Be'emes B'yayni Tiru V'chulu Tono. B'yayni Tiru. So, yeah, if he's storing merely wine, then you're allowed to have a bakery running underneath it because actually the smoke aroma actually enhances the wine. Well, later, if it's bucket but not an animal, a barn, that you can't place beneath wine because it actually spoils the wine. The vapor, the fume, the smell will harm the wine. Amar Rav Yosef, Haydi Dan, but that's good quality wine. But today's wine is so vulnerable. Afilu Kutra de Shraga, even the smoke of just a candle, Kamikashli can harm the wine. Amar Rav Sheshes, one more point, Asfasto, Kerefes Bokar Damya. Just as a barn, animals, the presence of the animals can harm these materials, likewise, Asfasta, animal feed placed in that area. Shachas Shotvu, says Rashi, it's like a barn because it sits there and it rots and it spoils and it has the same effect on the dwellers upstairs. Okay, so let's summarize today's daf. We had a halacha b'chaloin between two units through which the tumah will travel, provided the chaloin is not blocked off. The Brisa gave us a list of possible materials to use as blockers, and the Gemara explained, based on Shmuel, it's only provided you're not going to be using those materials. They become part of the wall, so to speak. And also, they're not mekabel tumah. We discussed what salt can serve for. Can it serve as a machitza? Different types of salt. We discussed keeping the rechayim, the tanner, away from the walls. And we discussed being sensitive to a storage room and its content by keeping away smoke, fires, and foul-smelling phenomena. All the best to you, and atzlocha rabbah.